Announcements. The first one is once a year we give believers the opportunity to fulfill one of the two rituals for this dispensation, and that's our annual baptism sign-up sheet. All is required. Well, you need to understand that it's a ritual, and you need to understand that it is commanded. And it's a one-time thing, and we do it in one of the church members' swimming pools. And if you decide to do it, even if it's just one person, we'll do it. The other announcement is simply that this is the Sunday for our monthly deacons meeting that will follow afterwards, but that applies to the deacons. You're welcome to attend if you want to, but I don't think you'd be that interested, but you're welcome. All right. As always, it's easy to slip out of fellowship. You can't slip out of salvation. You can't do anything to mess up your salvation. It is permanent and it's eternal from the moment that you believed in Jesus Christ. Rebound establishes the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, enables you to take what doctrine you may have in your soul and put it into operation, whether it's just having divine thoughts, the true thoughts of Scripture. Everything needs to be backed up. If you believe something about God or about the Bible or whatever, because a lot of people say all these things, you've got to be able to back it up with Scripture. You really do. Now, we may have differences of opinion with regard to certain applications and things. That's going to happen. But I'm talking about knowing the directive, knowing the divine viewpoint, knowing doctrine, however you want to express it. And this is where we mine it. This is where we extract it and put it in front of those who will make the necessary sacrifice. Look at it this way. If you faithfully line up with the teaching of this pulpit, regardless of the level of your spiritual growth, and you do that consistently and make whatever sacrifices are necessary, doesn't mean you can't miss a time here and there. But you get everything arranged so you can do it. And you do it. When the end comes, you'll qualify yourself for the crown. You don't have to be a mature believer to get the crown. It's nice, but you need to be a positive believer. Even if you come in late in the game, the point is you're in the game. And you can extract the high reward that we refer to as the crown, referred to as the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of boasting, sanctified boasting. If you're going to, there'd be a verbal sin, bragging, boasting, throw that one in. But there is sanctified boasting. Let him who boasts, not in what he has, who he knows, but that he knows and understands God's plan. And that's a confident declaration. Who wants someone in front of them dealing with a life and death matter, so to speak, and does not have clear answers? You come here, I'll give you clear answers. I'll tell you what you need to do to make all three adjustments. And I have those who have been listening carefully to the recipe, and it works out. It's the same for everybody. Again, anything worthwhile requires a sacrifice, a devotion, and this is the all important game, so to speak. All right. Each believer is a slave of Jesus Christ, and each believer will be evaluated, point 14, on his or her willingness to acclimate to the niche and responsibilities that befall him. As slaves, servants, we are all under God's authority. Maybe you don't like to be called a slave or a servant, but we are servants. This is totally honorable. It's not oppressive. It's a real privilege to serve God. And even if you're serving under duress, difficulties, we are from time to time. It's still honorable, and you are going to be amply rewarded for it, for your devotion to Him and His plan. And those who make the bigger sacrifices, who go through the bigger tests and adversities in time, then they're going to be rewarded accordingly. God works all this together for good. Those that are in the world can't say that. That all the bad things that are happening to them and in general, they cannot say that it's working together for their good. It's working together for our good. All things work together for good for those who love God. Therein lies the rub. You've got to love God. And there's degrees of that, I recognize. But those who are devoted to Him and He rewards them commensurate with their application. Because when we get our rewards, we're off this earth for 7 years. How about this? About a trip like this. We go to the third heaven for 7 years. Come back with Christ at the second advent, and He sets up His kingdom on earth and rearranges the whole environment politically and otherwise and sets up His kingdom. And we're going to, as royal family, rule and reign with Christ. We are royalty as of salvation in this dispensation. We are royalty. And we're going to live and act like royalty in the best way, not the degenerate royalties of history, but the good ones. But this, we're going to rule and reign with Christ on this earth, 1,000 years, 10 centuries. And then He's going to create a new earth and a new setup, and we'll be on earth too. And we've got a royal city to live in. It's called the New Jerusalem. It's a 1,500-mile cube. It'll hold a lot of people. Looking forward to the resurrection body, definitely, and all the other benefits that come when we get out of here. Believers, in point 16, should expect a certain amount of suffering for the faith. As we're not above Christ who suffered in time. But our sufferings are turned for good. God will never put on the... Here's a promise. God will never put on a believer, allow a believer to go through any kind of suffering that the believer can't handle. He'll give you first the doctrine, the spiritual strength to deal with it. And of course, you have to make the decision to buckle down and do it. And He will not put on anything on any believer that's beyond their capacity, a positive believer, their capacity to deal with. So, you can look at it from that standpoint. In time, if you look at the human race in general, you realize that no matter the high and the low and all walks of life, they suffer. They get sick. They have this, all kinds of things happen to them. So, we might as well turn your sufferings into eternal reward. If I suffer for Christ's sake, then I get a reward for it. Even if it's someone treating me bad, I get a reward for it. If I can manage to get myself in fellowship and acclimate to the test. In other words, the servant is not above the master. We're not above Christ. Matthew 10:24. A disciple. You know what a disciple is, don't you? It's a student. That's the Greek word for student. Aristotle's disciples. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave among his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house, who's that? Jesus Christ. And who are they? The Jews, especially those nasty religious ones. Beelzebub. That's a slander of the name of Christ. They called him Beelzebub. How much more will they malign the members of the household? So you got to expect that they're going to attack us for what we believe. Because we go against the grain. Definitely in the devil's world, we go against the grain. Therefore, Do not fear them. When you are the object of an attack for being a believer and being positive, whether it's impersonal, someone out there running their mouth, they do that, they can get on Facebook, they can say whatever they want to say. You know. Do not fear them. So when they're on your case, you're to have no fear. What can they do? Slander me? Malign me? Yeah, but you need to know this about that church. Whatever they want to say, do not fear them. And there's nothing concealed. And I like this one. There is nothing concealed done undercover that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. Oh, good. That means we're going to bust up this conspiracy and he's going to dump all of it out in the open for people to see what these people have been doing. Some of us are students of it. We realize what they're lying to us about on all kinds of levels. That's right. And they concealed it. They do all this in secret. They plan these events because they're trying to establish world tyranny. It's called world government, new world order. And you will not have your freedom. You would be a slave under it. And I'll tell you, what I tell you in darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear Him, God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell or the lake of fire. That's who you need to fear. Do not fear these people. Do not feel any of their threats or anything they say. When you get on doctrine, when you get on the truth, you probably at some point down the road will come under attack by people you know or are close to. So what are you going to do? You're going to run with them? Cave? Or are you going to stick with the truth and stick with God? That's a decision we've all had to make. I came under a certain amount of attack from my immediate family when I became a Christian, trying to intimidate me because I was going to a little Baptist church in St. Louis. And when I decided I was going to make my career a minister of the truth, I got some bad comments. You got a better mind than that. What's that got to do with anything? You could make a living doing so-and-so. You'll be subject to a little church and you won't have much. Or worse, you study that Bible too much and you'll be at an institution writing scripture on the wall. I heard that one. Well, I haven't got there yet. And I've been studying for 47 years, so I think it's a little late. See, these are the kind of attacks you come under. And when I got on doctrine, sound doctrine out of Houston, then they started attacking him. They got to drive a wedge between me and him. I wasn't going for it. I wouldn't fall for it. I said, funny thing. He can teach all this doctrine, but he's supposedly done this or that, and I don't know what he did in his personal life. And I don't care. Beyond a point, I'm interested in what comes out of his mouth. So, bye-bye. I'm not listening to you. That was the devil trying to drive a wedge there, that early going. And I wouldn't listen to it. When you identify your right pastor, your right shepherd, and you follow him, there's those they're going to try. They might attack what you believe, but they might try to attack him or whatever they want to do. Just turn away from them. This is not appropriate. Oh, that's just a cult. Well, anybody can throw, they call Jesus Beelzebub. That's pretty bad. You know what Beelzebub means? It's a Jewish derogatory term for Satan. It means Lord of the Flies. You know what flies are, don't you? Bzzz. And you know what they like to land on, don't you? They called him Lord of the Flies. The Jews of his day. Okay? Well, they're going to think twice. Well, they're already thinking twice now. When they got their ticket punched and they're in the afterlife. All these people down the road that have attacked the Christians and maligned them and persecuted them. But we still hold out love towards them and the gospel. Because sometimes a big persecutor turns to Christ. And the biggest example of that is Paul. He had blood on his hands. And it was Christians. Yeah. He did that as an unbeliever. He turned to Christ, and not only did he get saved, he made him a top apostle. And then Paul, through his life, was persecuted. And in the end, Nero had his head cut off. I'd rather be where Paul is than Nero, even Nero's best. All they can do is kill the body. And if we suffer persecution for Christ's sake, we will be rewarded. I have made it my plan not to deny one doctrine I've taught from this pulpit, no matter what the consequences are, from the outside or the inside. Period. I've come too far to pull my punches. I'm not doing it. Well, you can't teach that. You'll lose people. Well, if it's the truth, I got to teach it at some point. I hope I don't, but if I do, I do. That's on their head, not on mine. It'd be on my head if I refused to teach it and left believers hanging out here on a topic. Here's the thing. With regard to any doctrine taught, I don't ask you to just accept my words blank. I ask you to look at the Bible with me and determine before God if this is a true doctrine. And if it's a true doctrine, you file it away for your spiritual frame of reference. Then you become more Christ-like because you're thinking like Him. As servants, we should not expect to be praised for doing our assignments. We just carry on, do what we got to do. Luke 17. Just a little bit about servants. I think about it all the time. I'm a servant of God, and I am here to serve Him in the capacity that He has put me in. Okay. Jesus gave a lot of these little examples. Which of you, having a slave, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? But you'll say to him, prepare something for me to eat. And properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat. Get out of those dirty clothes you're out there with the sheep on. And I want you to look good too. You go there, take a shower, whatever they call them, and put on some appropriate clothing and serve me. While I eat and drink, and afterwards you may eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. We'll be rewarded according to our faith, Luke 19. There's so much about this in Scripture. The high reward you win, you'll never get tired of it. You know, you can go out and buy something new, nifty, we all do have, and it gives us a certain amount of satisfaction, right? But then it sits over on a shelf or there, and that's there. The rewards of the afterlife, will never fade in their importance to you. No one can take them away from you. You can't mess them up. They'll all be appropriate. And I cannot tell you what they will be, because eye has not seen. So if the eye hasn't seen and the ear hasn't heard and somebody with a fertile imagination hasn't developed it, then how can I tell you what they are? The one I can tell you about is that during the reign of Christ on earth, when he rules over the nations during the 1,000-year millennial reign, you will be given a position of authority within his kingdom commensurate with your faithfulness back here on this earth. You rule over 10 cities, or whatever it is, or be down at a lower position. That one you can sink your teeth into. 19:13. I probably should put in 12. See, he tells these stories to extract spiritual information. And he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 slaves and gave them 10 minas. That's a coin. It's a offhand what equivalent would be today. And said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves, to whom he had given the money, be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. In other words, an account. The first appeared saying, Master, your mina has made 10 more minas. I multiplied it by a factor of 10. And he said, well done, good slave, because you've been faithful in a very little thing, you'll be an authority over 10 cities. My new kingdom. Not a bad payoff, is it? Pretty impressive. The second came saying, your mina master has made 5. And he said, and you're to be over 5 cities. Another came, Master, here is your mina, which I kept away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. He's putting him down. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow, slandering him. He said, by your own words, I'll judge you. You worthless slave, do you not know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And they had banks, didn't they? And they had money you could put in banks and draw interest on it. You put your money in a bank today, you don't get very much interest. But you can. It's been done. And having come, I would have collected it with interest. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him. Give it to the one who has 10 minas. Somebody has been talking about that in terms of SG3 transference. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything dogmatic about that. I mean, it's got to relate somehow to this whole SG3 thing. Oh, SG3, by the way, is surpassing grace blessing in phase 3. Plan of God's divided into 3 parts. Phase 1 is salvation. Phase 2 is the believer in time. You were saved when you were 20. You died when you were 85. That subtract 20 from 85, that's your phase 2. Phase 3 is the believer in the afterlife. So when I use those terms, it's to generate immediate response. Okay, he's talking about phase 2, he's talking about believer in time. Okay. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas already. And then we get this. Well, now he has 11, right? I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. But these enemies of mine, you know, the ones that have been lining him, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and execute them in my presence. Boom! You do not want to cross God or Jesus Christ. You know, the lowly Jesus, meek and mild? Yes, that's true. But when he comes in his glory, in all of his glory, and power on that flaming portable throne at the second advent. And everyone who survives the trib will be drug out of all the holes they're hiding in. After so many people die on the earth in the sealed judgments, he'll find every one of them. He'll send an angel to come tap on their door and give them a free plane ride right back to the Middle East. And they'll collect all the believers. Some of these will be believers, some will be unbelievers, and he'll put the sheep on his right, and he'll put the goats, the unbelievers, on his left. And what's going to happen to the goats? They come under the baptism of fire. In a blast, they will be reduced to ashes. And to the sheep, he'll say, "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now that's tribulational saints. That doesn't apply to us at all, because we're going to be raptured out of here and we're going to be with Christ during the 7 year while all hell's breaking loose on this earth. The tribulation is unprecedented. Humanity has not gone through anything, according to the book of Daniel, that compares to what they're going to go through in the seven sealed judgments. I was listening to a jazz song, and they had a little thing in there about, "And he opened the seventh seal. The Lamb opened the seventh seal." And it's real somber sounding. And I don't know what all kind of goofiness is in it, but people have heard of some of this stuff. And so we'll be with him, and we'll come back in power and glory and watch him set up. And as a result, what is there, 7-8 billion people on earth today? I am going to make mankind scarcer than the gold of Ophir. At the great flood, we all started over with 8 people. And only 3 couples had kids. And we all came from the sons of Noah. Well, it's not going to be reduced to that level at the second advent. But humanity is going to be pared way down. And then we're going to be put in the millennium, where the environment, there's no war, there's none of this crazy. Disease will take a vacation. There won't be any bioweapons thrown at us. There won't be nations arming up and killing off their youth, like in World War I in Great Britain, where there were so few males come out of that alive that women were without husbands. We're going to end this war game. Nations have differences. You come before Jesus Christ, he'll arbitrate it. They will learn war no more. People will live longer, much longer. Not all these health issues. None of it. And nobody will be able to form up in criminal cartels and last any amount of time, because he'll send you and I in there to deal with it. It's called the rule of the rod of iron. You shape up, you commit these crimes, you die. That's how the civilization stays purged. Because the believers going into that will have sin natures and they'll have children. And oh, yeah. Okay, I got 11:31. I'll let you go. And we'll pick up here Tuesday. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to study these matters. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten our positive volition to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.